Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Tes, and we are 22 lines from the top of daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis Ki Asa Rav Dimi. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Elio ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Chana Gittel Bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayoshu ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basia, Chaim Biyam ben Mordechai ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shlomo Zizkin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Harav Chaim Doiv ben Krindel, Yael Bas Bela, Shoshana Tova Bas Esther, Michal Shoshana Bas Tova Adasa and Chava Serol Bas Chana Freida. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilu Nishmas Label Yehuda Shraga Ben Avram Yechiel Yosef Ben Tzvi Betzalel Shloime Zev Ben Avram Yitzchak Mordechai Ziskin Ben Meir Ochanan and Baruch Tzvi Ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So we're in the midst of a little bit of a digression. The Mishnah had discussed the halacha: is one allowed to make salt water on Shabbos Zaltzvah or not? And it was a machlokes Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, it depends on how much you're making. If you're making a lot, it would be aser. If you're making a little, it would be mutter. The reason is because the typical usage of salt water would be to soak food in it, to pickle food in it. If you make a lot, it looks like you're going to be pickling food there for a long time, or at the very least, a lot of food, food that you won't be able to eat on Shabbos. Thus, it looks like you're preparing for after Shabbos. That's not something you're allowed to do. If you do a little, then it doesn't look like you're necessarily doing something on Shabbos for after Shabbos. And it's for that reason it would be okay. Rabbi Yossi said, I don't hear a chilek between a lot and a little. In fact, he said it's a very slippery slope. If you're going to tell people that this is okay, albeit in moderation, people might think that I'm allowed to do a malacha as long as I do it in moderation. Maybe at the very least a chatzi shir should be mutter. The point is, Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not comfortable with saying that something could be mutter or usher on Shabbos depending on how much of it you do. It's for that reason Rabbi Yossi said it's always going to be usher. He says if you really need salt water on Shabbos, there is a workaround. What you could do is you could take salt, mix it with oil, and then add the water, or take water, mix it with oil, and then add the salt. Bottom line is, we talked in the Mishnah about salt water, so the Gemara is going to digress to talk more about salt water. Incidentally, the backdrop of the majority of today's daf is going to be Simen Shin Chaf Ches in Hilchas Shabbos, a very interesting and a very halacha lemaisa simen. The Gemaras we're going to learn today are not so halacha lemaisa, but the backdrop is very halacha lemaisa, and that is Dinei Refua B'Shabbos. And really, the introduction to Refuah B'Shabbos is that it's aser for a person who's just simply not feeling well to take medicine on Shabbos. And really, it's a very big chiddush, because taking medicine on Shabbos doesn't involve a malacha. If someone takes an Advil, what did he do wrong? He didn't violate a malacha d'oraisa. He didn't violate, at first glance, a malacha d'rabbanan either. The reason it's aser to engage in any refuah b'Shabbos was a gzeira. Because once upon a time, the way people made medication was they would take herbs, they would grind the herbs, they would cook the herbs, and then they had their medication. You didn't go to the pharmacy, hand the man a prescription, and walk out with your medication. You actually had to do it old school, and involved lamites malachis. So the Chachamim were concerned that if somebody would take medication on Shabbos, he may go prepare the medication on Shabbos. And gzeira mishum shchika samimonim, because we were concerned that you may grind the samimonim, the Chachamim said that it's aser for a person to engage in any refuah b'Shabbos. Either way, with that backdrop of refuah b'Shabbos, we begin the daf. Also, Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi lived in Bavel. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He learned by Rabbi Yochanan, and then he came back to Bavel and he reported a lot of things that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and some of the other great ones that were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So one of the things Rav Dimi said was, in Eretz Yisrael, they say the following: May oilam leitava gavra b'yama de Sodom. Nobody ever drowned in the Yama of Sodom, also known as the Yama Melech. The Yama Melech is very salty. The reason it was called the Yama Sodom is because Chazal had a Mesoira that the reason the Yama Melech had so much salt is because it was the Gafris b'Melech. Srefa Kolarza was the salt of Sodom that eventually descended in that sea. The point is that no one ever drowned in the Yama Melech. Why? Because you float because of this such a high salt content. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef, who was in Bavli, heard what Rav Dimi said. He said the following: Hafucha Sedaim. Stoim was turned upside down. Vafucha Mila. And what Rav Dimi just reported is also a little tzimisht. It's also a little upside down. A pun, meaning you're saying something about Sedaim that's wrong, that's backwards, which is matim, because that's what happened to Sedaim. Sedaim is also backwards. What did he have an issue with that Rav Dimi said? Because Rav Dimi said, "Mi olam leitava gavra beyamad the Sedaim." So Rav Yosef was medayik what Rav Dimi said. He said, "Gavra huda leitava kishura tava." It sounds like only a person never drowned in yamad the Sedaim, but beans and other things maybe did. What Rav Dimi should have said was that nothing ever drowned in yamad the Sedaim. "Mi olam leitava gavra." What about a cheftza that did drown? So that's what bothered Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, "Afucha stoyim v'afucha milo." Says the Gemara, "Mali abayos." Again, whenever there's Rav Yosef, there's usually Abaya, and Abaya's commenting on something that Rav Yosef said. So Abaya told Rav Yosef that what's so shver about what Rav Dimi said? Maybe he meant to say as follows: "Loi mi baya kama." Meaning, "Loi mi baya kishura dafilu b'chol yomayis mei mei sheva oylam loi tava." Kishura beams often don't drown, even in more aggressive. Even with in seas that have less salt content, are very often not going to drown. So that's pashit that Keshura maybe didn't drown in the Yamat HaSadayim. He was saying a chiddush al afilu gavra de tova b'chol meimay shem olam. People, however, who do drown le'oleinu in other seas, but b'Yamat HaSadayim le'tova. It's a chiddush that a gavra is le'tova. Not that only a gavra was le'tova, but this is a chiddush, and as a result, he emphasized the gavra. Says more than my nafkamina. Bottom line is, does it matter? Like, it's a fun fact, it's interesting, it's something that a tour guide will tell you, perhaps, but why are we discussing this in Talmud Bavli? This is prime real estate, every word matters. So unless there's some significance, lahalacha, about the fact that no one ever drowned in the Yam HaMelech, Chazal wouldn't tell it to us. So here you have a Rav Dimi and Rav Yosef and an Abaya. It sounds like a lot of energy for something that's frivolous. So the Gemara says, no, there actually is an afkimini. Other Ravin, have a shock of us, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ravin was another one of the people who lived in Bavel that went and spent time in Eretz Yisrael and came back and reported. So this is when Ravin was in Eretz Yisrael. He was walking behind Rabbi Yirmiyah, Aguda de Yama de Sedaim. So they're walking on the banks of the Yam HaMelech. Beautiful. So he tells him, "Am I allowed to wash myself? Can I rinse myself with this water on Shabbos?" So he told him, "Shaper Dami, you're allowed to." So then he asked him another question. He says, "Can I put some of this water in my eye? Can I open and close my eye?" Meaning, so some of it can get into my eye for therapeutic reasons. Amales Rabbi Yirmiyah told Rabin, "Zulay Shamati." I'll tell you the truth, I don't know. I have no Messiah on this. But Kayaitseva Shamati, I heard something similar, and I think based on what I heard, maybe we can infer this. Rabbi Zeira, because Rabbi Zeira said, "Zimna Namal Mishmeid Rab Masno, Vizimna Namal Mishmeid Mar Ukfa." Rabbi Zeira said two things, as we're about to see. And sometimes he would say them over in the name of Rab Masno, and sometimes he would say them over in the name of Mar Ukfa. The reason is he had heard it from Rab Masno, and he had heard them from Mar Ukfa as well. Vitarvayu, Rav Masna and Mar Ukfa, it's a little confusing, they would say over these two things, Mishmei Davu de Shmuel Velevi. So Rav Masna and Mar Ukfa both heard two halachos related to what we're discussing now. One in the name of Avu de Shmuel, the other one in the name of Levi. Rav Zeira didn't know which halacha attributed itself to Avu de Shmuel, which halacha attributed itself to Levi. He knew one was from Avu de Shmuel, one was from Levi. He heard it both from Rav Masna and from Mar Ukva. Okay, what are these halachas? Chad Omar once said, to put wine inside a person's eye on Shabbos is aser. The reason is, people would put wine in their eyes for refuah. Refuah b'Shabbos is not something you're allowed to do. Al gava ayin, but if somebody wants to put it on top of his eye, not in the eye, but on the eye, the outside part of it, mutter, that would be mutter. Chadama once said, roik tuffel, to take the saliva of a person that hasn't eaten yet, afilu agava ayinasa, that's more chama than wine, and that's something that you're not even allowed to put on your eye on Shabbos. So either way, two halachas about putting some sort of refuah inside or on top of your eyes on Shabbos. Wine and roik tuffel. Wine in the eyes, also on top of the eyes. Mutter, roik tuffel's mochamer. Even on top of the eyes. So the Gemara says, time das vu de Shmuel hudama. So we're not sure who said what. One avu de Shmuel said, one Levi said. So the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that avu de Shmuel is the one that said, yayin b'teicha ayin asra, gava yayin mutter. He's the one that was talking about wine. Because midama Shmuel, because we know Shmuel once said it. Shayra adam pita b'yayin. A person's allowed to soak his bread in wine. V'noisna gava ayin, and he can put it on top of his eye, b'Shabbos. So Shmuel rule essentially said that you're allowed to put wine al gava ayin b'Shabbos. Two things. Number one, you could put it al gava ayin. Number two, it sounds like you can't put it in your eye. Now, who said this? Shmuel said it. So the Gemara says, the Shmuel Levi man. Who did Shmuel hear this from? Mav de Shmuel Levi Avua. He probably heard it from his father. So you see that Avua, the Shmuel, Shmuel's father, is probably the one that said that halacha. But the Gemara says, ulitamech, if you're going to prove to me from the fact that Shmuel said the halacha, that it must be Shmuel heard it from his father, hadam Shmuel. Shmuel said the other halacha as well. Roik tofel, afilo gava ayin aser. It's also to put this roik tofel, the saliva from a person that hasn't eaten yet, on top of the eye. The Shmuel Levi man. Who did he hear that from? If you're going to tell me he heard that from his father as well, and that's a raya that that's the halacha his father said, then Kama Levi didn't say anything. Because Shmuel said over both of these halachas, and if you're going to tell me if Shmuel said it, he probably heard it from his father, that means Avua de Shmuel said both halachas. So we just said that Rav Masu Mar Ukva clearly said that they heard one from Avua de Shmuel and one from Levi. Eli, you have to say Chadash Mi Levi Avua, the Chadash Mi Levi Levi. He must have heard Shmuel did one from his father, the other one he heard from Levi. V'le'adina and Haim Avua Haim Levi, and there was a confusion which one came from Avua de Shmuel and which one came from Levi. But the bottom line is, Ravin is walking together with Rabbi Yirmiyah by the Dead Sea. And Ravin turns to Rabbi Yirmiyah, asks him a question. He says, am I allowed to wash myself with the water from the Dead Sea on Shabbos? He said, Mutter. He said, can I put it in my eye? Is this refuah b'Shabbos? Or is this not refuah b'Shabbos? He told him, I'll be honest with you, I never heard this Shaila asked. Zu loy shamati, but kayyotza ba shamati. I heard something similar. He said, what I heard is that you're not allowed to put wine inside your eyes on Shabbos. I heard you're not allowed to take roik tuffel, which was considered therapeutic, and put that inside your eyes on Shabbos. So if you can't put those things inside your eyes on Shabbos, it's fear to assume that you wouldn't be able to put this inside your eyes on Shabbos as well. So if somebody would want to wash his face with water from the Yam HaMelech, that would be okay. But to physically take the water from the Yam HaMelech and put it inside your eyes, that would not be okay. Why are we talking about this? Because the Mishnah talked about Mein Melech. So from Mein Melech, we digress a little bit to talk about the Yam HaMelech. Amar Mar Ukva, Amar Shmuel. So more on this topic, using different eye ointments on Shabbos. So Mar Ukva said in the name of Shmuel. And again, Shmuel was one of the great Amoraim of all time. He was also a doctor. So you have a lot of inyane refuah in Shas that are attributed to Shmuel. So Shmuel said, Shoyra Adam Kiloirin may erev Shabbos. So Kiloirin was some ointment that people very commonly put inside their eyes. And Shmuel said, you're allowed to soak Kiloirin on erev Shabbos. V'noitzen al gab ev enev Shabbos. And put it on top of your eyes on Shabbos. V'enoi choyshish. And this is not something you have to worry about. This doesn't fall into the category of refuah b'Shabbos. Bar Livoi, Havakoi kamei d'maruk. Bar Livoi was one standing in front of Maruk. V'chazid avi mayitzu pasach. So he saw that he took Kiloirin, and he didn't just put it on his eye, but he was putting it in his eye. He was blinking so that it can get inside his eye. He was Mayetzu Pasach. So Marukva told Bar Levi, Kuli Haivadu Lo Shara Mar Shmuel. I know Shmuel said that it's mutter to put Kiloirin, but he just said to put it on the eye. To put it in the eye, that's already Refua B'Shabbos. Zok De Gemara, Sholach Le Rabbi Yane the Marukva. Yane sent Ravuk with the following question. L'shadu Lamar, Mihanech Kiloirin the Mar Shmuel. Could you send us some of Mar Shmuel's Kiloirin? So again, Shmuel was a doctor, and he had a whole stash of this Kiloirin. So they sent Marukva, can you please send us some of the Kiloirin? So what's the rest of the story? Rav and Shmuel were the G'dayle Hadar in Naharda, but they weren't the Reish Galusa, quote unquote. They weren't the Nasi. They weren't the president. Who was the leader of the Jewish people at the time? It was a very formal position. It was a position that was recognized by the government, and the position belonged to Mar Ukva. So Mar Ukva was the Reish Galusa, the Abezdin. Sometimes Rashi says one way, sometimes Rashi says the other way. But the point is, so Mar Ukva had control over the Jewish community in Naharda, in Bavel. So Rav Yane sent to Mar Ukva, can you please send me some of the Kiloirin of Shmuel? So Shamach Lehi told him the following, Shiduri Mishadran Alech, I'm going to send it to you. You know why? Delay Tema Tzarayin Anok. Because if I don't send it to you, you're going to think I'm being stingy with you. This is a pun. Delay Tema Tzar Ayin Ana. We're dealing with Kiloirin, which is something that people put inside their eyes. Elo Hochi Amashmul, but he says, but I'm going to tell you this, I'll tell you what Shmuel said. Toiva Tsoin, Tipa Tsoin and Chakras, a little bit of Tsoinain, it's a little bit of a radish in the morning. And to bathe your hands and your feet in hot water at night, that is better. It's more therapeutic. So he says, if you want Kiloirin, I'll send you Kiloirin. And I'm going to do it because you're going to think I'm a Tzarayin. He says, but I'm going to tell you what Shmuel said. Sometimes some preventative measures and a healthy lifestyle is worth more than all the Kiloirin in the world. Tanya Nami Hachi, it's a Bryce. Amr Amunah Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda. Toivet Tzipa Tzayin Shachas Uchisit Naim Raglaim Arvis. Mikol Kiloirin Sheba. Olam. Hu Hayyaimer. So we just mentioned Rav Muna, so we're going to mention something else that Rav Muna said. He used to say the following: Yad La'ayin Tikotzes. If a person takes his hand and he touches his eye before washing the Tilas Yadayim in the morning, before Negel Vaser, that hand deserves to be chopped off. Yad L'chaitem, if a person takes his hand and he touches his nose before he washes the Tilas Yadayim, again, Tikotzes, it deserves to be chopped off. Yad L'pef, he puts in his mouth, Tikotzes. Yad L'ois puts in his ear, Tikotzes. Yad L'chasudo, if somebody bloodlets, so he lets out blood and now he has a little wound because of the area that he let blood, if he touches that area, again, tikotzeitz. Yad la'amah. If somebody touches oisay makoim, again, tikotzeitz. Rashi says that as it relates to yad la'amah tikotzeitz, that has nothing to do with before netilas yadayim. In fact, that's a mefurish gemara in mesechtes nida daf yud gimel. That's more related to inyanei taiva. Yad la'pi tabas. If someone touches his pi tabas, that's where he goes to the bathroom gedolim. Also tikotzeitz. Yad la'gigas. If somebody didn't wash netilas yadayim yet and he puts his hand into a barrel of beer, tikotzeitz, that hand deserves to be chopped off as well. What's the reason for all this? So the Gemara explains some of it. Yad Mesamah. It's considered dangerous. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, can lose his eyesight if he touches his eyes before he washes Netilas Yadayim. Yad Machareshes. If a person touches his ears before he washes Netilas Yadayim, it could affect his hearing. Yad Maila Filippos. If a person touches his nose or his mouth without washing Netilas Yadayim, it's something that could affect the way he smells. So what's this all about? Meaning, what's this all about? It's so dangerous for a person to touch different body parts without washing Netilas Yadayim. Meaning, we know that a person has an obligation to wash Netilas Yadayim. And the reason he does is because the Rishonim say that when a person wakes up in the morning, before he starts serving Hashem, he needs to wash his hands. In fact, the Mishnah Brura, right in the beginning of Siman Dalet, where he talks about the halachas of Netilas Yadayim, he brings a machlokes Rishonim. Why is it that we wash? Negel Vaser is the most basic mitzvah everybody's familiar with. What's the reason for it? Why does a person wash Negel Vaser in the morning? So the truth is, there's two shitas in the Rishonim. It's a machlokes between the Rashba and the Rosh. And there's actually nafgaminas in Halacha. And being that we're not sure if the Halacha is like the Rashba or the Rosh, we go the Chumrah like the Rashba, and we go the Chumrah like the Rosh. The Rashba said that the reason a person washes his hands in the morning, Negel Vaser, is because you wake up in the morning, why? What are you planning to do? You're planning on serving Hashem. And it's for that reason, being that you wake up in the morning, your objective is to serve Hashem. So before you serve Hashem, you have to purify yourself. Just like the Kehanim, they were Mekadesh, that you're dying v'raglayim in the Beis HaMikdash, from the Kiyar, so too we wake up in the morning to serve Hashem. The first thing we do is we wash ourselves. So it's good to know sometimes why we do what we do. So why are you washing your hands in the morning? You wash Negel Vaser. Because Maidani Lefanecha, and you wake up in the morning, and the idea is I'm going to serve Hashem today. So I'm like a Kohen who has to do the Avodah. So the first thing you do is you go and you wash your hands to show that my day is holy and my objective of a new day is another opportunity to serve Hashem. The Rosh says it's a little bit more pashut. He says, Yadayim maskoni yoseim. A person's hands move around, and as a result, it's very possible during the night you touched an area that's unclean, and as a result, you can't daven, you can't say krishma if your hands are not clean. It says, for that reason, you wash your hands. So those are the two simple, the pashut, the reasons that are within our pay grade as far as understanding why it is that we wash Negel Vaser. But there's another reason we wash Netilas Yadayim that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Dalet, and the Makar is this Gemara that we're about to learn right now. And that is because Chazal said there was a Ruach Ra. Chazal even gave the Ruach Ra a name. It was called Bas Chayrin. And this Ruach called Bas Chayrin is Shaira on a person's hands when he wakes up in the morning. And being that when you wake up in the morning, this Ruach Ra Shaira on your hands, it's dangerous. Heebie-jeebie. And as a result, you have to wash your hands. Not only do you have to wash your hands, we're about to see you have to wash each hand three times. Right? You ever wonder, why do you have to wash your hands three times? What's that all about? When you wash for a sandwich, you don't have to wash your hands three times. But when you wake up in the morning, you wash Negel Vaser. Every little kid knows you have to wash the right, the left, the right, the left. Well, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to wash three times? If the reason is because you're being Mekadesh, you're dying for Aglayim from the Kiyar, then it wouldn't be necessary for a person to wash his hands three times. If the reason is simply because you're dying Maskani Yisem, you wouldn't have to wash your hands three times. It's because there's a Ruach Ra that's Shaira, and this Ruach Ra,
The way to counter it is not just by washing your hands, by washing your hands three times. Either way, Tani Rav Nosson Omer, Bas Chayrin Hizu. There's a Ruach Ra that Shaira on a person's hands when he wakes up in the morning. It's called Bas Chayrin Umakpedes. It does its thing. Ad Sheyirchetz Yadav Gimel Pa'amim. And that's why it's not just a mitzvah to wash your hands, but it's dangerous if you don't wash your hands. That's why if a person touches his ayin or his chaitim or his peh or his oizen, tikotzeitz. Why is this so chamer? Because you're getting involved in sakanta. See, this just upgraded the whole sugya of netilas yedayim from yisura to sakana. Very different. Chamira sakanta meyisura, roiv sveksveka. So many of the klali hashas don't apply to anything that's rooted in sakana. Netilas yedayim before Shabbos kuftes amid aleph is a mitzvah, but in Shabbos kuftes, what we learn is that it's not just a mitzvah. We learn that it's also a davar shel sakana. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. It says, what happens if a person was overcome by the ruach ra of bas chayin? Is there a way out now? Yeah. There's a plant called puch, and puch is maver bas melech. Not only that, upeisek zadim, it can get a person to stop crying, umaver seir bafapayim, and it causes a person's eyelids to grow. Tayin nami hachi, Rabbi Yossi, yomer, puch, maver bas melech, it has an ability to remove the bas melech, upeisek zadim, umaver seir bafapayim. Amar marukva, said in the name of Shmuel, alin, ein behem yishum refuah. So alin usually means leaves, but here Rashi says, kach shemo esev, it's referring to a specific type of grass. So this grass was called alin, and it had no therapeutic qualities. L'may nafkamina, you could eat it on Shabbos, put it in your eyes on Shabbos. You could do whatever you want with it. If it's Eimba Mishum Refuah, it's not included in Refuah B'Shabbos. Amrav Yosef, Kusbarta, another type of plant. Eimba Mishum Refuah. Amrav Sheishas, Koshas, Haps. Eimba Mishum Refuah. Amrav Yosef, Rabbi Yosef was a Saginar, he was blind. He said, Kusbarta, Afil Didi Koshali. Even someone like myself, he said, who can't see, if I take Kusbarta, it's not good for me. Amrav Sheishas, who was also a Saginar. Sheishas, Bava. Gargira afilo didi miley. For me, if I take gargira and I put it in my eyes, it's good. Meaning, even though we can't see, but gargira helps. All different types of haps are mutter to use on Shabbos. Labar mitruza, with the exception of teruza. Amrav chizdo sharika tavya shari. It's mutter to take a meat that's cooking out of the oven on Shabbos and smear it with sauce to make it gishmak. Peapua beya also, but to take an egg and to mix it really, really well. So well that you mixed it in the way that people mix eggs when they add it to a recipe, aser, that's going to be aser. So shrika tavyashari, to smear some sauce on top of a meat that's cooking, that's mutter, doesn't involve any malacha. I mean, the only disclaimer is you have to make sure you're not going to be cooking that liquid. If the meat is so hot that it's going to cook it, you could run into bishul problems. But assuming there's no bishul, it's going to be mutter. The chiddush is that it's not masakim mana. You don't have to worry about the fact that you're preparing this oichlin in a way where you're running into tikkun mana issues. However, to take eggs and to mix it in a way where it looks like you're adding it to a recipe, that's not good. Why? Because it looks like you're about to cook something on Shabbos. And that's also the visit to Ze'iri. Ze'iri's wife, other way, the Chibar Rashi. Ze'iri's wife once took a roast and she took this sauce and she smeared this roast or the meat on top of the sauce on Shabbos. And she gave it to her husband's Talmud, Chiya Barashi. So Chiya Barashi was a Talmud of Ze'iri. He didn't want to eat it. So she knew he didn't want to take food from the Rebbetzin. This is the Rashiva's wife. And she served food. I'm saying, I'm sorry. This is, a machmer on this. I don't want it. So she told him, the Rabbi Chavdili, I make this for you. I make this for the Rosh Hashiva every Shabbos. This is what I do. He eats it. What, you're more from than the Rosh Hashiva? So the Gemara says, no. He said, listen, I know what the Rosh Hashiva does, but I know the Lomdus also. Ziri le Tamei. Ziri, your husband has a very big Kiddush. This was supposed to not be so complicated. She said, no, your husband has a chiddush. A person is allowed to take clear wine or clear water and put it through and strain it on Shabbos. Even though you're not allowed to strain liquids on Shabbos, Boirer 101. But this is something that you're allowed to do. Why? Because being that it's clear anyways, and people would drink it this way regardless, so to strain it on the next level that not everyone saw Makbid on, that's not a big deal. Alma. So what do you see? The Iri holds. Kivin the Mishtati Hoch, it means that people would drink it this way. Love me to Kavin. So it's not significant what he's doing, and it's for that reason it's not going to be also on Shabbos. So he said, Hochanami, Kivin the Mischel Hochi, love me to Kavin. Also, the Iri doesn't hold this as Tikkun Mana. Because Iri holds people would eat the meat without putting the sauce on top of it. So putting the sauce in it is not Tikkun Mana. He says, but I want you to know, not everybody holds like your husband's Iri. This is his Chiddush. It works for him, it works for his family, for you. You can continue doing it. And it's for that reason, not that I'm frumer, but I know Zairi had this chiddush that not all the rabbanon agreed with, and it's for that reason this is not going to be okay. Another thing, marukva said, mishin nikva yadai. If somebody hurt his hand, or his foot, so you're allowed to use wine. You could apply wine onto the skin where this wound is, this bruise is, no issue of refuah b'shabbos. Ibayulu chalamai. What about vinegar? So vinegar is a little stronger than wine. Maybe vinegar is a davar shel refuah. Amr Rafil Ravashi. So Rafil to Ravashi gavida be Rav Kana. When I was by Rav Kana Amri, he said chaloloi. Vinegar is not okay. Wine is good. Chal is not okay. Amr Rava said the hani b'nei mechuza. The people of mechuza came the mefanki. So Rava was the Rav in mechuza, and he used to talk about his kehila a lot. And one of the things he often said about his keila is that they were very wealthy and they lived a good life and they were mefunakim and meunagim. And he said, being that they're such mefunakim, they have very good skin. They take care of themselves. So for them, if they would apply wine to their skin, it would have the same effect that vinegar, which is stronger, would have to a regular person. And as a result, being that for ordinary people, vinegar applied on skin is a problem, for my chevre in Mechuza, even wine's going to be a problem. On that note, the Gemara tells a story. Rabina ikla be Rav Ashi. Rabina was once by Rav Ashi. Chazu the dericha le chamara, agava de kare. A donkey stepped on the foot of Rav Ashi. The Yosef got samasle, and he was in pain. And what he did was, he took a little bit of vinegar and he put it on his foot. Amale. So Rav Yehuda told Rav Ashi, you're not allowed to put vinegar on your foot. So how are you doing this? Amale, so he told him, gava yad v'gava regel shani. He said, no, this is on the top of my foot, on the top of my hand, and that's different. Meaning, when we talk about the Isser of Refuah B'Shabbos, not all machlois are treated the same. Of course, there's certain types of issues that if somebody is suffering from, then even on Shabbos you're allowed to apply a refuah. One of those, said Rav Ashi, is if someone has an issue on top of his foot or on his hand, that's an area where the Chachamim said you're allowed to apply the refuah even on Shabbos. I know challah applied to the skin is an issue, but this is gavaregel. Gavaregel is different, and therefore it's going to be both. Ikadami, some have a slightly different version of how this story happened. Chazi the Kotzamasle bechamra. Rav Yehuda didn't see Rav Ashi putting vinegar on his foot, but rather he was putting wine on his foot. Amalei told him, don't you know that Rava said that even the ordinary lad to put wine on a foot that's hurting on Shabbos, but if someone's a mafunuk, then it's not going to be okay. So Ravina told Rav Ashi, I know you're a mafunuk, so based on that, it shouldn't be okay. Amalei again, he told him, gavayad v'gavay regel shani, this is gavayad, it's different. Amarav adamar mas, amarav gavayad v'gavay regel, if someone has a wound, someone has pain on his hand or on his foot, harehin kemakos shocholol, it's like an internal wound, and for something like this, a person is allowed to be mechalel on Shabbos. More on this note, a person is allowed to bathe in mei gerar, gerar of a parshas toldos fame, b'mei chamson, b'mei asya, b'mei tveria, avoloi b'yamagodol. A person is not allowed to bathe in the Yamagodol. What was the Yamagodol? So the Yamagodol sometimes is referred to as the Mediterranean Sea. And often the Yamagodol means the ocean. Doesn't matter if it's the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean. In this context, there's no reason to assume that it means the Mediterranean Sea. As a result, the Yamagodol means an ocean. V'loy b'mei mishra. Mishra is water that was used to soak flax. V'loy b'yama shel sadaim. And also not in the Yamamelach. So again, a braisa that talks about what type of waters a person's allowed to bathe in on Shabbos. You could bathe in mei gerar, mei chamsin, mei asya, mei tveria. You cannot bathe in an ocean. You can't bathe in water that was used for soaking flax. And you also can't bathe in the Yamamelach. Now the truth is, our Gemara is discussing bathing from the perspective of refuah b'Shabbos. But really, there's another box that needs to be checked off before you bathe on Shabbos. We learned the Gemara together not that long ago, Perikira, Daflamites, where the Gemara talks about bathing on Shabbos, bathing on Yontif, showering on Yontif. How are you bathing on Shabbos? can't even take a shower on Yontif Sheni, according to many opinions. So how are you suddenly taking a bath on Shabbos? So Tosfos addresses this, but the point is that we're not looking at it from the Rechitza B'Shabbos perspective. That's not what the discussion of this Brice is. Discussion of this Brice is from the Refuah B'Shabbos perspective. Either way, the one part of this Brice that we need is Avaloi B'Yam HaGadol. A person is not allowed to bathe in an ocean. Freit Yivar V'Rimin will ask you a kasha. Rechitzim B'Mei Tferia U'B'Yam HaGadol. Avaloi B'Mei Mishra Avaloi B'Yam HaShalstein. Kasha Yam HaGadol Yam HaGadol. You have a steer. The first Brice says that you're not allowed to bathe in the Yam HaGadol. You can't bathe in an ocean. And here the Brice says, Roichatzin b'meit feri ubeyam agodos. Which one is it? Could you bathe in an ocean? Or can you not bathe in an ocean? Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon said like Kasha, Harab Meir, Harab Yehuda. So Rabbi Yechon said, maybe the stira is really a machloikis, Rab Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Who is this Rab Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? This is a Mishnah Mesechtis Mikvah. It's the time we learned in the Mishnah. Kol Ayamim Kemikvah. So if somebody's Tomei, he has to purify himself. Different tumas have different methods of tahira. But the one thing that every tumah has in common is that if someone's tameh, at some point he had to go to the mikvah. And really, a mikvah can be one of two things. We're not going to go into the proper introduction to these next few lines of Gemara, because it's not so important. But a mikvah can be either a mikvah, as in your typical mikvah, a body of still water, or a person could go into a river, into a sea, and that could be a mikveh as well. If a person's going into a body of mei geshamim, it's referred to technically as a mikveh. If a person is going to bathe in a sea, for example, it's a mayon. And there's different halachos of what makes something a mikveh and what makes something a mayon. So for example, a mikveh, the water has to be still. A mayon, it's fakert. It dafka has to be flowing. Additionally, you find that there were certain mitzvahs in the Torah that required water, but not just any water, mayim chayim el keli. Right? There are certain things that required mayim chayim. Mayim chayim had to come from a mayon, dafka. It couldn't come from a mikvah. So this Mishnah, Mesachtes Mikvahs, brings a machloikis tanam that were discussing an ocean. Is an ocean a mikvah or is an ocean a mayon? L'may nafkamino. Does the water have to dafka be still or does it have to be dafka flowing? Can you take water from an ocean and use it for the mechatas, for a halacha that requires mayim chayim, or not? So the Gemara says, kol ayam kemikvah. All the seas are like a mikvah. Shenemar ule mikvei hamayim karayamim. Beautiful. Mikvah. Lemikvei hamayim karayamim. So the yamim were treated as a mikvah. Divi Ramei. Rabbi Yehuda says, yama gadol kemikvah. Only the yama gadol was like a mikvah. Meaning oceans are a mikvah, but rivers and seas, v'leinemar yamim elosh yesh b'im yamim harbe. Even though it says yamim lashon rabim, it sounds like all the seas. No. Within the oceans, there's yamim harbe. But really, not all seas are considered a mikvah. Rabbi Yehuda had an in-between cheetah. Kol hayamim mitarim b'zoichlim. He said, all seas are treated like a mayon, in that they are mitahir only if they're flowing, but at the same time they're not treated like a mayon in that psulim lezavim lemetzayram lekadosh b'mechatas. You can't take mayim chayim from there. What we just want is one thing. Rabbi Yehuda seems to make a distinction between the yam hagadol and between other yamim. What would be the purpose of that distinction? So Rabbi Yochanan suggested that maybe the reason Rabbi Yehuda said that was, the reason an ocean would be treated differently than a river is because maybe an ocean has a higher salt content. And that's what makes it unique as it relates to Hilchas Mikvahs. If it has a higher salt content and you see it permeates the halacha of Mikvahs, so maybe, who I did, it should make an afkamina in Hilchas Shabbos as well. Where would it happen, afkamina Hilchas Shabbos? So much salt. Oh, now it's refuah. So now you wouldn't be able to go into it. So the Brisa that says that you're allowed to bathe in an ocean on Shabbos is no issue of refuah, that's going according to Rameyer. Rameyer holds there's no difference between an ocean and all the other seas. The ocean, the Yamagado is like all the other yamim. So you don't see that it's different with regards to its unusual salt content with regards to mikvahs. So the same should be true with regards to Shabbos. But Rabbi Yehuda already is being mechalik. He's being mechalik between the Yam HaGadol and all the other Yamim. So maybe regarding Shabbos, even though you're allowed to bathe, the Mei Tveri, the Mei this, the Mei that is all okay. So maybe the Yam HaGadol, maybe the Yam HaGadol would be different, however, because you see the Yam HaGadol is there. But the Gemara says, Maskel for Rav Nachman Yitzchok. Rav Nachman Yitzchok asked Rav Yechon an obvious question, because maybe the Pligel Inyan Tumah V'Tahira, Inyan Shabbos Mei Shamelu. How do you know? At the end of the day, it's a wild tushta. You tell me, because you have a Machlokes of Yudah and Rameyer and Hilchas Mikvahs regarding the nature of an ocean, that Machlokes is going to permeate Shabbos. Who said it has anything to do with Shabbos? Who says it has anything to do with salt? Who says it would impact refuah b'Shabbos? Elam Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok. So we have a stira. Are you allowed to bathe in the Yam HaGadol? Can you bathe in the ocean on Shabbos? Or can you not bathe in the ocean on Shabbos? How do you reconcile the contradiction? So Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok said, "Kasha hadei shtoi, hadei lo shtoi." Maybe the difference is how much time are you spending in the ocean? If you're going to spend a lot of time there, it's going to be aser because it looks like you're doing it for refuah. If you go in and out, then it's not. It looks like you're cleaning yourself. Then it's not a problem. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ayakim to l'basrais." The second brayso that says that it's mutter to bathe in an ocean is the lo yishtoi. You weren't there that long. Either lo yishtoi, if you're not there, I feel a bit maybe ishra nami, then it should be okay to bathe even in water that was used to soak flax. How do you know that? Even if this person has sores, it looks like he's going into this for refuah, still the halacha is it's mutter. That's only if he doesn't spend too much time there. If he spends a lot of time there, usher, it's going to be usher. So what do you see from there? That if a person doesn't spend a lot of time, he's allowed to bathe even in Mei Mishra. Now that braisa that says that you're allowed to bathe in the Yam HaGadol says you're not allowed to bathe in Mei Mishra. If we're talking about where he didn't spend a lot of time, and that's why you're allowed to bathe in the Yam HaGadol, then it would be mutter to bathe in Mei Mishra as well. And the braisa says you're not allowed to bathe in Mei Mishra. So this is strike two. So how do we reconcile the stira? I have a braisa that says you're allowed to bathe in the Yam HaGadol in an ocean. I have a braisa that says you're not allowed to bathe in an ocean. First we said maybe Hara Mei Hara Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchok didn't like that. Then we said maybe once talking about we spent a lot of time, a little bit of time, we don't like that either. Ellis, the Gemara says Yam HaGadol Leikasha, Habi Yofin Shabai, Habi Ron Shabai. Are you in a clean part of an ocean or you're in murky water, you're in dirty water? So if the part of the ocean is that you're in is clean, so over there it's going to be mutter because it looks like you're just bathing. If you're in dirty water, why would anyone bathe in dirty water? Unless he's a chayla and he needs to go into the water, he has no choice. So he's doing it for inyanei refuah. Oh, you're doing it for inyanei refuah. There it's going to be different. The Gemara says mei mishra, a mei mishra nami loikasha. And as it relates to mei mishra, that's easy. Hadishtai, hadaloishtai. We just said. So if you're going to have a stira with regards to mei mishra, there we'd be mechalik. There we would say the distinction is it depending on how much time you spent there. Zok, the Mishnah Vayta. Now the Mishnah again is going to talk about things that we don't presumably know much about, but we'll do what we do. Ein oichlin eiz v'yoin b'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to eat eiz v'yoin on Shabbos. Lofi she'ein ha'maychol b'riyim. And the reason is because it's not maychol b'riyim. Healthy people don't need it. As a result, a person only eats it if he's not well. It's refuah b'Shabbos, which is also avol oichlas yoyezer. You're allowed to eat yoyezer v'shoisa abuvra, and you're allowed to drink abuvra. These are things apparently people that were healthy would eat and drink as well. So therefore, it's not aser on Shabbos. Kol oichlan oichlan adam refuah. Person allowed to eat anything that's food for refuah. So for example, you can eat chicken soup on Shabbos if you're not feeling well. It's refuah b'Shabbos, but it's an oichel. If it's an oichel, it's okay. V'chol ha'mashkin shayse, you could drink anything that people drink, even if you're drinking it for refuah. Chutz, with the exception of made the kolim and v'kois ikarim. We'll see what that is in the Gemara. Mipnei she'en liyoraika, because these are things that were used for refuah. Aval shayse who made the kolim litzmai, a person is allowed to drink made the kolim, literally the water that comes from palm trees, if he's thirsty. V'zach shemen ikarim shalei the refuah, and you're allowed to take oil of ikarin, shemen ikarin, and smear it on yourself. So what this all means, hopefully will become a little bit more clear in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, Ezoiv abarsa bar hamak. The Torah very often talks about ezoiv. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah that require grass, but not just grass, ezoiv. Ezoiv is a specific type of grass. So what is it exactly? So Rabbi Yosef said, Ezoiv is barta bar hamog. It's the grass of bar hamog. Okay, eiz v'yoin that our Mishnah just mentioned, ein oichlin eiz v'yoin b'Shabbos, it's not the same as eizoiv in the Mishnah. Rather, this is arbarta bar hing. This is the grass that you find in hing. Ula amar, Ula had a different definition of eizoiv in the Torah. He said marva chivara. It's marva chivara. Ula ichlin the bei Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, I spoke coming marva chivara. Ula was once by Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, they brought him this plant called Marzi Chivara. Amr said, "Hainu Ezev Chzibay Rice." Oh, this is the Ezev in the Torah. Papi Amr, Papi had a different shot. He said it's Shumshuk. So we have three pshatim on what the Ezev in the Torah talks about. Ezev, Ezev, Ezev. What exactly is Ezev? So either it's this grass that comes from Hamag, or it's Marva Chivara, or it's Shumshuk. Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah Medifti. So Rabbi Yirmiyah Medifti said, "Kavasi there are papi mistabra. I have a right to a papi." The third pshat that it's shumshuk. I'm going to the Mishnah. Mitzvah Ezev Shloisha Kolachim. Because the Ezev, the Mishnah said, had to have three stems. Ubehem Shloisha Gevoylam. Each stem has on it three capsules, and inside each one of the capsules, there's a seed. The point is that you had three gevoilin on each one of the three kalachim. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Difti said, there's only one of the three pshatim that we just mentioned as to what Eslev might be that can fit this criteria, that can check off these boxes. V'shumshuk hu d'mishtak hachi. And that is the shumshuk. My achile. What do people use the Eslev? Going back to our Mishnah again. The Mishnah said, ein oichlin Eslev, which is similar to Eslev, but not the same thing. Three pshatim what the Eslev might be. Okay. But returning to the Mishnah, you're not allowed to eat Eslev on Shabbos. And the reason is because that's considered refuah. So what type of machl, meaning what was this a refuah for? So the Gemara says, lekuki yaini, someone that has intestinal worms. But my achile, what did he eat it with? The Sheva Tamri Uchmasa. He had eat it together with seven black dates. Okay. Mimai Havya. Where does it come from? What causes this? Mikimcha Desayri. If somebody eats barley flour, the Chalaf Len Arbam Yemen, that's 40 days old. Mishnah said, Abba Oichle Say Yes. Even though you're not allowed to eat Ezvion, you are allowed to eat Yoyez. And my Yoyez, what is that? Posnak. What is that? Penny royal, if that helps. L'may achlila, what is it supposed to be eaten with? La'arkisa, it's for someone that has worms in his liver. L'may achlila, what is that eaten with? So not seven black dates, but rather, b'sheva tamri chivar, says seven white dates. M'may havya, what does this come from? So this comes mi'umtza, from someone that eats raw meat, umaya, and drinks water, alibereikana, on an empty stomach, or alternatively, it could also come from bisra sham nali birkana, eating fatty meats on an empty stomach, or umi bisra the taira, eating very rough meat, meat that comes from an ox, ali birkana, on an empty stomach, or meyam guzo, just from eating a nut, ali birkana, or umi gire derubio, ali birkana, eating the stems of fenugreek on an empty stomach, or umishni maibas. Oh, then you have to, any depending on which one of these things you eat, if someone ate that, empty stomach, drinks a little bit of water, he's in trouble. For Eloi, says the Gemara, live latach. Meaning, what if a person doesn't have Yoyezer? So is there a plan B? So Gemara says, yeah, he should swallow, but not just eat. Swallow tachli, that's kress, chivarta white. So swallow white kress. Unless he doesn't have that. But then he says he should fast. The lazy bisra shami, he should bring fatty meat. Felishti agurmi, and should put it on burning coals. Velimitz garma, then he should suck out the juice from a real juicy piece of meat. Veligma chala, he should drink vinegar. The ikadami tells the chalut, don't drink vinegar. Which in the kosh of the kavda, it's not good for his liver. The iloy, let's say he doesn't have this. Laisi guda dasinta, he should bring the bark of a bush. The grida meiloy letatoy, a bark of a bush that was peeled, but only peeled from top to bottom, as we'll see. Veloy metatoy leiloy, not from bottom top. Dimonovki aidi pume, because if he does this and he peels the bark from bottom to top, then there's a concern that worms might come out of his mouth. Either way, the lishkal of a shichr beishichvi, he should then take the bark of the tree, you should boil it in beer, but make sure that you burn it, do this during Bein Hashmashes. Ulamach haniskul on the coming day, the next day, he should close his nose, velishti drink it, pasha because it smells bad, vichy mifni, and then when he goes to the bathroom, mifni apshicha the dikla, he should go to the bathroom on that tree where he took this bark from. Either way, that is the refuah. Exhale. So just one ha'ara, or maybe two or three, depending on how much time we have, as it relates to today's daf. So what was the backdrop of today's daf? So there was a lot in today's daf about things that we're not very familiar with. But the backdrop is something that's very much halacha l'maisa, and that is refuah b'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to do any davar shal refuah on Shabbos, even though it doesn't involve a malacha de raisa, it doesn't involve a malacha de rabbanon. You can't even do it al yedei amira la'akum, unless it's a chayla of some level of severity. And the reason is because of the gezeira. The chachamim were worried that a person, if he takes medicine, he may prepare medicine. And once upon a time, preparing medicine meant going to your backyard, taking plants, grinding them, cooking them. So gzeira mishum shchika samamonim, that's the melacha that Chachamim focused on. We're concerned that you may go and grind these herbs and prepare it on Shabbos. So gzeira mishum shchika samamonim, the Chachamim said that refuah b'Shabbos is aser. Now that's pasha, that the only time refuah b'Shabbos is aser, it goes without say, is if this person is not in a state of sakana. But if a person is a chayla, and he's a chayla sheyesh by sakana, so then the halacha is, we do anything that we need to do. We mechal Shabbos. Not just that, you're not allowed to ask shaylas. If someone asks a shayla, he's a shayfech donin. Not just that, the rav that the shaylas asked to hareze meguna, it's you're not allowed to ask shaylas. If there's any tzad that maybe there's pekuach nefesh over here, you don't even think about it. Not just that, if someone is a chayla, Even if he's a chayla she'im boy sakana. So even there are a lot of kulois when it comes to refuah b'shabbos. Certainly al yedei amir la'akum, there are kulois. But we're talking about someone that's just not feeling well. Not a chayla she'esh boy sakana. Maybe not even a chayla she'im boy sakana. We're dealing with someone that he has a headache. He's not feeling his two-thirds. So the question is, could he take an Advil? Could he have some ibuprofen? The question is, refuah b'shabbos, where the person is not deemed a real chayla. So, is it mutter or aser? And it's a short answer. It's aser, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Chav Ches. And again, even though it doesn't involve a dairaisa, it's all a gzera mishum shchikas samemarim. The Mechaber's lashon is Shin Chav Ches of Katan Aleph. Mishi Eishle Meichush Baalmo. Someone's not feeling well, but whom is Chazak Vaylech Kabari? He's going to be okay. Also, lastly, Shleishum Refua Va'afilu Al Yedei Eino Yehudi Gzera mishum shchikas samemarim. There's another halach in Shulchan Aruch, and this is in Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Shin Vav, Sif Katan and Zayin. The context is completely unrelated to what we're talking about. Shulchan Aruch over there is discussing measuring something on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to measure something on Shabbos. It's considered Uvda Dechayel, and measuring something on Shabbos is awesome. Stating that, says the Mechaber, Mutter Limdoid B'Shabbos Medida Shal Mitzvah. You're allowed to measure something on Shabbos if it's for a mitzvah. Kugoyin, Limdoid Im Yesh B'Mikvar B'Amsah. So for example, if somebody wants to measure a mikvah, does it have 40 saw? Is it a kosher mikvah? Or is it not a kosher mikvah? That's something that's okay. Additionally, says the Mechaber, v'limdoit ezer misha hu chayla. Or to measure the ezer of someone that's a chayla, v'lil chay shalav, and to recite an incantation on it, k'moysha noyagim hanashim, that's also okay, the havi medida shal mitzvah. So apparently there was some sort of custom that if somebody was a chayla, so you'd go to a witch, some heebie-jeebie, and she would measure his ezer and then recite some incantation, and somehow this was supposed to be a refuah. So says the Mechaber, the lim doit ezer misha hu chayla. To do that is mutter. It's a medida shal mitzvah. Just like it's mutter to measure a mikvah, yeah, 40 sa, not 40 sa, so to this too is considered a medida shal mitzvah. Frank the Mishnah Berurah, and he quotes the Elyur Rabba. He says, I don't understand this halacha. It doesn't sound like we're talking about a chayla she'esh by sakana. Because if we're talking about a chayla she'esh by sakana, all bets are off. Machila noise akal akal, you do whatever you have to do to save this person. Elamai, we're talking about a person that's a chayla she'esh by sakana, or he has a base mechush. The question then is, then how is this person allowed to go to this woman and have her start reciting incantations for him to have a refuah? It's refuah b'shabbos. I thought refuah b'shabbos is aser. As I freak the Mishnah Brura, quoting the Elyur Rabba, says the Elyur Rabba, you have to say that even though the Chachamim said refuah b'Shabbos is aser, but a refuah that's b'derech seguli, that doesn't involve taking a medication, a refuah that involves incantations, a refuah that's not being done in the normal and usual way, it's a refuah that's not prescribed by a doctor per se, but more by a witch or a sorcerer. That type of refuah never was included in the gzeira of Shchikas HaMamonim. Why? It's very simple. Because the whole gzeira is that if you're going to tell a person you can take an Advil, he may go manufacture the Advil. If you're going to tell him you could take the seven dates and everything that we just talked about in the daf, he may go cook it, he may go grind it on Shabbos. So there's a concern. But the lachash, what are you worried about? It doesn't involve medicine. So if it doesn't involve medicine, there's no reason for you to have to be concerned. So if there's no reason for you to have to be concerned, in this case, it's not going to be osay. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you don't have the gzeir of shchikas hamemonim. Why? It's only if there's something tangible, there's something physical. But over here, there's nothing tangible, there's nothing physical, there's no mashke, there's no oichel. So in this case, it's not going to be an issue. So it comes at a very interesting chiddush lahalacha. And that is that even though refuah b'shabbos is awesome, but that's only if it's a dover sheyesh by mamish. Kigoyin, mashka, oy oichel. There's a practical concern of shchikas hamemonim. Over there, the Chachamim said it's going to be a problem. But if the nature, the chefts of the refuah doesn't involve a mashka, doesn't involve an oichel, it doesn't involve medicine, you're not eating or drinking anything, but rather it's just someone's going to recite something and we're going to hope for the best. Oh, that type of refuah is different. It's a refuah, not bederech tivi. It's a refuah b'derech seguli. That type of refuah has nothing to do with samamonim. As a result, it's not included in the gzeira mishum shchika samamonim, and that type of refuah is going to be mutar on Shabbos. So a refuah b'derech tivi is aser, a refuah b'derech seguli is going to be mutar. There's an interesting discussion in the Achroinen What would be in the reverse case? What would be if we have not an ordinary choyla, but rather a choyla sheyesh bo sakana, where we turn the world upside down, literally, to save this person's life? What would be if there's a way, if there's a mahalach to maybe treat this person b'derech seguli, but it would involve violating an iser? Maybe being Michal Shabbos, maybe feeding this person something that he's not allowed to eat. Is this something that you would be allowed to do on Shabbos? Or is this something that you wouldn't be allowed to do on Shabbos? So I'll give you an example of it. There's a tshuva in the Marsham. It's in Chela Gimel. It's in Reish Chof Hei. He brings a fascinating story. He says, V'uvda Yodana. He says, I'm going to tell you a story. Be'ir Meiladati. When I was a young child, Bizlotchov. There was a person there that was a chayla masukin. Uba'isa's man, at that time, where this chayla masukin was in Zlotchev, Hayamari Virebi, Hagayin HaKadosh, Rab Shalom of Bezdin de Belz, Zatzal, Mishoifse, Shabbos Kodesh, Bibrod. So this was on Shabbos, there was a chayla sheish by Sakana, it was in the city of Zlotchev, which was the city that the Marsham was born in. And he said that he remembers that there was a chayla sheish by Sakana, and they heard that in Brod, Rab Shalom Belzel was spending Shabbos. So they decided that there was a dying there, and he said that we have to save this person's life. So he called a guy, and the guy sat down and he wrote a kvittel. I guess a guy could write a kvittel, but the evid, usually you need a gabla. But over here, the guy sat down and he wrote a kvittel. Shem hachayla v'imoy v'shalach lebrod, and he sent it to Brod. They brought this kvittel on Shabbos, middle of Shabbos. A telegram arrives. It's a kvittel. It's coming from Zlotchev. Somebody wants to give a kvittel now to Rav Shalom Belze. Nebuch there's a chayla sheyesh by sakana. So the Gemara says, the Marsham says, who is the Rav and Brod at the time? It was Rav Shlomo Kluger. And Rav Shlomo Kluger saw what happened. He said, "Vehirish agoy Rav Shlomo Kluger zal upasal as adayim melohiray slide." He said, "This dayim can never pass in a shaila again." He's such a pirate scared. He couldn't believe what he did. V'kfoid moiri v'rebi agoy na kadosh anal. He said, "The sar shulim from Belz." He was maskim to Rav Shlomo Kluger. And then he said afterwards, he says, "I have a problem." He says, because this person was Michal Shabbos. And he felt like he was Goyrim the Chil Shabbos. He was only Michal Shabbos because he wanted to come to the Sar Shalom for a kvittel, for a bracha. So he said, there's only one way for me to get out of the situation. He says, I have to be Poyel Yeshua. That's what the Belzer ever said. He said, if I'm Poyel Yeshua, that's going to come out. It was a Chil Shabbos. This was all done to save a person's life. So he said, V'omer Achshav ani mechuyev lehisamitz. I have no choice, but I have to work extra sheyasig achayla refuah to make sure this chayla gets refuah shlo yugrim. And the Marsham says, I remember the story. The Sar Shalom was Poyel Yeshua. He was Poyel Yeshua, and this Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana had a refuah. Either way, but said the Marsham that you see from this Maisa Shahaya, the Reb Shlomo Kluger and the Sar Shulam both agreed that to go ahead and to be Mechal Shabbos, this was like an Ayideh and Amir al-Akum. But even that, it was a pirate's get. It's not something you're allowed to do. It's not something. And the truth is, if you think about it for a minute, what's the pshat? Why? The Sar Shalom was about Moifus. Everyone knew that. This is a person that's a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana. So if you can pick up the phone and you can call Atzala, if you can get in a car and you can drive, you don't even ask questions. Even a Sufik Pekuach Nefashas. The halach is you do whatever you have to do. So what's going on? What's Pasha Pshat in this story? Rav Shlomo Kluger, he said, this dayan's never allowed a paskin a shayla again. Can't paskin a shayla again? What did he do so wrong? I don't even understand it. What's wrong? This is a chayla sheyesh. We believe in the power of a tefillah of a tzaddik. We believe in a power of a kvittel. The Sar Shulam, he was a mumcha in terms of his ability to be Poyel Yeshuas. So what's going on over here? What's going on over here? The truth is, this is an old shayla. Being mechal Shabbos for a chayla sheyesh by sakana to toil a refuah where it's not happening b'derech hateva. It's happening more b'derech seguli. And the truth is, it's a tshuva from the Chida, but there's one tshuva that I saw in the Sha'arim Mitzionim Ba'alacha, and this is in his Sefer on Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's Chelek Beis. He has a beautiful arichas on this. Rishon Zalman Braun and Simon Tzadik Beis. He talks about this, and he brings a tshuva from the Tzemach Tzedek, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who said that at first glance it would seem that this shayla should really be totally in a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. In the end of Masechtas Yuma, that Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah over there discusses somebody that was bitten by a dog, but not just any dog, a Kelev Shaita. So the Gemara describes what exactly a Kelev Shaita is. But for our purposes, this is some sort of wild dog. The Mishnah says, if someone was bitten by a Kelev Shaita, so it seems that the custom was that it was understood that if someone's bitten by a dog like that, you kill the dog, you take its liver, and you feed it to the person that has the bite, and this is how he's going to have a refuah. And the question is this something you're allowed to do or not? What would be the tzad not to do it? Because a dog is not kosher. So you're feeding this person, not kosher. You're not allowed to give the chayla a little bit of its liberty. Ramasi Mecharish Mata. Ramasi Mecharish said it's going to be muta. Zok Rashi, what's the hesber in this machloikis? He said, even though the roifim used to do this, ain't a refuah gemura. The chachamim hold you're not allowed to do it because it's not a real refuah. It's not a real refuah. It's not a real refuah. You can't do it. Ramasim Mecharish Mater. Ramasim Mecharish said it's mutter. Why? Because he was of the opinion that refuah gemura. It is a real refuah. In other words, the machloikas between Ramasim Mecharish and the chachamim in this mishnah is it a real refuah or is it not a real refuah? Ramasim Mecharish held it's a real refuah, so you do it. It's not kosher. Yeah, you have a chaylish age by sakon. This guy's dying. So as a result, you do whatever you have to do. Machilin oisai hakal hakal. You can give him the liver of a dog. The reason the chachamim argue is because the chachamim held it's not a real refuah. Machleik is a metzias. It is a real refuah or it's not a real refuah. The Rambam, however, in his Pirush HaMishnayis, said a different shot. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis said, the ain halacha gramasi ben chorish bazeh. The halacha is not a gramasi ben chorish. Shehu mata lahachal adam akovet shal kelav shoyte kishinachach. Why? Ki ze ainoi moyel ela bederech segula. Says the Rambam, I'm a doctor. This doesn't work bederech ateva. You're going to tell me that somehow, biologically, it makes sense that if a person's bitten by a kelev shoyte, take that dog's liver, feed it to the person, and he's going to have a refuah? There's no way. It works, I guess, but bederech segula, not bederech hateva. The chachamim soivrim. So you want to know why the chachamim hold its aser? Ki ein oivrim ala mitzvois elo berefua bilvad. Rotzoloimer bedvorim hamirapim beteva. It's only with something that's mirapim beteva. Vuhudover hamiti, something that's for sure true. Hoitzioi hadas, it's rational. Vahanusoyin, it passed clinical trials. Hakarav lemes, that at the very least make it karav lemes. Aval esrapis bedvarim shei merapim beskulasan. But to be merapisam with school is ki aser ki koicham chalush ena mitzad adas. There's no rational explanation for it. Venesiane rochaku. It's impossible to prove clinically that it really works. Vehitaina chalusha min atoya vezeho ikur says Raman. This cloud that I'm telling you doeyu vezachreyu. Don't forget it. Kihu ikur goda says the Rambam. You want to know what the hezber and the machloikas or masi mekharish and the chachamim is? It's not a machloikas. Does it work or it doesn't work? Two opinions amongst two doctors. It's not what it is. It's fundamental. It worked. Obviously, people wouldn't have done it, I guess. But at the same time, says the Rambam, it certainly doesn't work with derech hateva. There's no clinical trials. It's not FDA approved. And the Rambam says you can only be mechal Shabbos for something that's proven. But if it's not proven to work, it's usher. It has to be something that's bederech hateva. But if it's bederech skuli, then it's not going to be okay. Rashi clearly didn't learn like the Rambam. Rashi said the machloikas Ramasi Mecharish and the Chachamim was whether or not it works or it doesn't work. So said it's a mach tzedek. What's the hesber? What's gate afar? You have a machloikas, a big time machloikas between Rashi and Yuma Pei Gimel Amanal and the Rambam on that Mishnah and Yuma Pei Gimel and the Pirush HaMishnayis. According to Rashi, the fact that the refuah, the liver of the dog, was working only b'derech skuli, didn't bother the chachamim. The reason the chachamim say ein machilin, someone that was bitten by a kelev shoyte with the kavod shalei on Shabbos, is not because it's b'derech skuli. It's simply because it doesn't work. It's not a refuah gemura. So it's because it doesn't work. What would be if you had a refuah b'derech skuli that did work? That it's proven that it works? That we have statistics maybe that show it works? Then maybe it would be okay. The Rambam said fundamentally I have a problem with it. You never use something that's b'derech skuli. Rashi sounded like the issue is that it's not a refuah gemura. But and that fakera, Masmin Charish also it is a refuah gemura. It's just more a machlekes in metzios. Whereas in the Rambam it sounds like it's more of a fundamental machlekes. So bottom line is, could you be Mechal Shabbos for someone b'derech refuah? Could you feed someone machalis asuras if he's a chaylish yesh by sakana where it's all b'derech skula? At first glance, it's the mamish tesugya mesachtes yuma. According to the Rambam, it's machloikis between Ramasi Mecharish and the Chachamim. Ramasi Mecharish says, yeah, the Chachamim say no. According to Rashi, both Ramasi Mecharish and the Chachamim hold, really, yeah. It's just a question of the kovet of the kelev. Was that deemed the refor gemura, or was that not deemed the refor gemura? But either way, the poiskeis manenu quote this tshuva from the Tzemach Tzedek that really it sounds like it would come down to a machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it's a machloikis between Ramas Mecharshim and Chacham. Of course, we pass like the Chachamim. According to Rashi, it sounds like everybody agrees you would be able to mechal Shabbos b'derech skulos. At first glance, this big tumult that Rabbi Shlomo Kluger made and the Sar Sholem that they had a problem with the chil Shabbos to go give a kvittel, could be it's totally in this shayla. Because if there's a rule that any time something happens b'derech seguli, any time something happens b'derech skuli, the halacha is it's not okay, you can't be mechal Shabbos for it. So if that's the case, for sure this would be a problem. But if it's not necessarily an issue because of the fact that it's b'derech skuli, but rather it depends, does it work, does it not work, is it a refuah gemura, is it not a refuah gemura, so then yesh layin, the kvittel of the Sar Sholem bells. I don't know, maybe that is a refuah gemura. So then already we could start having a conversation and we can ask ourselves, the Sar Sholem was a Kaddish and he was a Baal Moifis and he was a tremendous Poel Yeshuas, so maybe this is different than the liver of a dog, of a wilde that bit somebody. So maybe over here it would be okay to go ahead and to be Mechal Shabbos. I mean, the one other Ha'ara that's worth mentioning, we'll do a part 2 on this in Yesh Hashem tonight, but another Ha'ara as it relates to this is that tefillah. Is tefillah a derech seguli? What was the Sar Sholem going to do? He was going to pull strings or he was going to daven? Probably going to daven. Tefillah. Tefillah is seguli or tefillah is tivi? How do you look at tefillah? What's tefillah? Tefillah is like eating the liver of a dog? That's what tefillah is? Or tefillah is the way the Eibishter created the world? You daven. If a person is karev Hashem l'chol karev, l'chol Hashem yikra'u be'emes, this could be his teva. And if this is teva, to be mechal Shabbos, to go to a tzaddik that's going to daven, maybe that's viewed differently. There's a marsha, and maybe we'll talk about this later.